When you think about Italy, and Italy I think about a lot, first thing, of course, Rome, Venice, Florence. But let's not go there now. Let's go to the north of Italy. And really, this is an underappreciated corner of Italy. It's a thriving part of Italy. It's a proud part of Italy. And it's a part of Italy worth checking out. And I'm joined by two guides from Italy today. And we're going to talk about exactly that. The best of the north of Italy. Riccardo Panareo and Anne Long. Anne and Riccardo, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Rick. We're glad to be here.
Thank you. Buonasera, everybody.
Buonasera. Riccardo, you know, you've got the north, you've got the south. You've got quintessential Italian emotions and everything. And then you've actually got a little bit of more serious, more organized Italy. They say, for instance, for every church in Rome, you've got a bank in Milano.
Yeah, you're right. You have to consider also the fact that Milan is less than 20 miles away from Switzerland.
Okay.
So, you know, that reflects in the mentality, in the temperament, in the behavior, the lifestyle, the food.
There's even Lombard is a part of Italy, right?
And of course.
And that would be have a little bit of German in the blood.
Absolutely, absolutely. Don't forget that Lombardia is the pulling locomotive of the Italian economy.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the 20 regions, but that's where we have one-third of the entire national industrial production concentrated.
Anne Long, you're an American, but you've lived in Italy for 30 years.
That's right. I've been over 30 years down in the south of Italy, but of course I lead groups all over Italy, north and south.
When you and your neighbors think about looking from the Rome area or the Naples area up to the north, what do you think?
Well, of course, the southern Italians don't have a very loving relationship with the northerners by any means. And I find it they are all very emotional people, but the northerners are business people. And the southerners are fun and games.
Fun and games in the south. Now, if you're in the north, do you feel like you're subsidizing the fun and games in the south, Riccardo?
It depends. You know, in the north, there are so many people. Sometimes we say that probably because we are envious of the good time that the people in the south are having, because they have everything. They have the history. I mean, we have it in the north as well, but, you know, the south is just 3,000 years of history in the south, even well before the Romans. They have the sun, they have the food.
Now, in the north, in Milano, you do have the fashion.
Of course.
And tell us about the fashion in Milano.
You know, in Milan, if you think about Milan and Paris split 80% of the world creation in fashion.
Is that right?
The designers.
80%?
80% between Milan and Paris. So if you are, you know, a shopper in that sense, you just go berserk if you go to Milan. I
mean. Oh, well, there's a shopping area in Milano,
Via Monte Napoleone.
So if you remember Monte Napoleone, Napoleon, you got yourself incredible shops. Give us some ideas for, like, just window shopping in Milano.
Via Monte Napoleone is the most famous, where all the big names are. But you better go there with a jerry can of Valium, because when you see the prices, then you just...
Right, a big wallet. Need a big wallet.
A jerry can of Valium,
because when you see the...
Is that what you said? Yeah. That's funny. I can't imagine a jerry can of Valium if I'm going to Milano.
Or maybe better, a rich lover.
A rich lover. Now, that's it. So, Anne, when you go to Milano, what's your advice for appreciating the fashion and...
Well, what comes out in Milan won't show up in the rest of the world until later on. So you're right, avant-garde,
ahead of everyone.
That's it.
You're ahead of the curve. That's a nice idea for a souvenir. Even the food is stylish in Milano. I mean, you go to the... What's the famous rosticceria Peck, I think?
Probably you're referring to the Galleria, the famous Galleria. That's the place where they have the most famous coffee bars and where the people go and have the aperitivo, which is the typical Campari. Maybe some of
that's
you
right.
Heard
I think Campari was sort of started out that
that's
whole
right.
trend
yeah,
or something.
Exactly. And many people from that area, they like adding a few drops of Campari in a Prosecco, which is a dry, white, sparkling Italian wine. Nothing to do with Spumante. Spumante is sweet.
Okay.
You drink it at dessert.
Now, would that be a northern sort of drink?
Yes.
Anne Long and Riccardo Panareo are guiding us into their favorite parts of northern Italy today on Travel with Rick Steves. Our phone number is 877-333-7425, and you can share your favorite things about the north of Italy in our radio message board. Look for the link in the radio page at ricksteves.com. And Riccardo, you mentioned the aperitivo. There's a great tradition in Milan, especially, where every early evening, food comes out on the bars. You could buy a drink and call it a light dinner.
Yeah, it's a fashion that has spread in many other places in Italy where there are a lot of little picks. You know, for a fixed price, you have a good drink, let's say, is a sort of a happy hour, something like that. And it's almost a dinner.
So if you're you can big, spend €8 or $10 for a drink, get yourself a nice drink, and you've got enough food there to to be a light meal.
Yeah, because the Italians do not drink without eating.
Oh, is that right?
It's part of their custom and culture that you don't get drunk and everything. You got to have something in your stomach, and then you can enjoy the drink.
And it's like a competition. There's some beautiful, beautiful food that comes out with those drinks. When I'm in Milano, one thing I'm impressed by, along with the tradition of free appetizers with the drinks at happy hour, and along with the gourmet delis, and along with all the fashion, is the power of the city and the touch from Mussolini's time. You've got a lot of Mussolini architecture in Milano.
That's right.
What are your thoughts on Mussolini's architecture in Milano?
Well, of course, you know, he was down in Rome, and there's a lot of influence in Rome as well. But then, slowly but surely, he had to make his way back up to Milan as he's being forced out by the partisans, etc. So his influence is all over in the major cities.
The train station is one that just makes you want to fall to your knees and say, you know, Viva Italia.
That's right.
I mean, and that's kind of what it was designed to do.
Well, you know, in every dictatorship, you have to impress your people, regardless the color. Could be red, white, green. You know, you have to
impress. So right wing, left wing, you're going to have a dictatorship.
Yeah,
that
you have to show very clearly who is in power. And you show it, you know, with big buildings, with big monuments, big display of military, so the people feel, well, we better don't open our mouth, because otherwise
and
we're
back
in
to
trouble.
The times of Caesar.
All the way back to then.
All the way back, he has to show
that megalomania.
That's right.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking about Northern Italy with Anne Long and Riccardo Panareo. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. And Fred's on the line in Linwood, New Jersey. Fred, thanks for your call.
Thanks for taking it, Rick. I appreciate it. We've toured Southern Italy for the past few years, and we were thinking of heading north this year. We're going to go in Tuscany, and I was thinking of heading up through the lake region. And you may have scared me out of Milano with the jerry can of Valium, but I was wondering if you could recommend an itinerary and maybe a base for a 2 or 3 day trip through the lake region.
Well, this is a great question for a lot of people. You know, which is the best lake? When we look at the map, you know, we've got Milan, which is the hub. You'll fly into Milan and all the train lines coming in and out of there. And then you've got the Alps just a bit to the north. And all along the southern fringe of the Alps, you've got these great lakes. And when you think of the lakes of Italy, not the Riviera, but the freshwater Riviera, the lakes of Italy that are within striking distance of all the fashionable Milanese. What lakes do you like?
Well, it really depends on what you are interested in doing. We have Lake Como, and you can stay in Como. Mm-hmm. And from there, you can take beautiful boat rides along the lake to go to the different towns and see the different architecture and gardens. They have formal gardens and private villas that you can go visit that are absolutely wonderful, and it's so relaxing. Or over to Lake Garda is what I would recommend, because Lake Garda is a beautiful lake, and you've got a city like Malcesine that you can stay at, and it's easy to get over to Venice, it's easy to get to Verona, it's easy to get up into the mountainous area from there too.
So you've got Lake Garda, you've got Lake Como. Riccardo, what's another lake that you would consider?
Well, you know, Lake Maggiore is the third very important lake, you know, with the famous island, Borromeo Islands, with the Isola Bella. But if I can give a suggestion, many people don't know that there are also a couple little lakes next to the three big ones.
Uh-huh.
Do not miss the discovery of Lake Orta with an O like over.
O-R-T-A. O-R-T-A. And how is Orta worth knowing about?
It's very, very close to Lake Maggiore. It's much smaller, but because of the size, it's not so famous. And if you go there are villages which are practically genuine, you know, because of course Lake Como and the other ones are so famous and beautiful, but then don't expect to be the only ones going there. You would be in the middle of the crowd, that's for sure.
So Orta is more of the laid-back, under.
There is a little island in the middle, San Giuliano, and it's a little discovery, a little pearl. You know, usually people appreciate when they discover places, because Lake Como, you have an expectation it's beautiful.
Discovered.
It is beautiful.
Yeah.
It's the discovery.
You know, I got to say, I like Como, but it is very discovered. Lago di Como.
Oh, yeah.
And I think George Clooney's discovered it too. That's
yes.
his favorite lake. A lot of people go to Stresa, and that's sort of a good connection with Switzerland there, I think. Lago Maggiore.
Sure.
The Germans love Lake Garda for windsurfing.
Yeah. Also because it's so close. Brenner Pass, in 3 hours, you are in Munich.
From Munich, you can go down there for your windsurfing and some pasta, sure. And you got yourself a little Italian weekend. Mm. If you want to stay away from the Germans, you might want to skip Lake Garda.
Sure.
There's a town on Lake Garda that's very popular, but it's Sirmione?
Desenzano.
Yeah.
And then Sirmione.
And for me, those were quite touristy. I didn't like them so much. Mm. But I want to check out Orta. That sounds very
Orta,
good.
Orta, it's out of the way. I mean, it's out of the way. It's a quarter of an hour away from the motorway, but not many people go there.
No.
So it depends on your expectation.
One thing nice about Lago di Como, Varena is a nice town.
Beautiful town, little town.
And the cool thing about Varena is it's obscure, but you can get there by train from Milano in 1 hour. So when you fly into Milan and you're a little bit stressed out and jet-laggy, you don't need to stay in the big city. From the Milan airport, you go into town, catch the train, about a train every hour, 1 hour north to Varena, and they call that honeymoon country, luna di miele.
Io di miele, honey.
Say the word in Italian.
Miele.
Luna
di miele.
Miele, honey.
Sweet, sweet.
And I got there, and everybody was either falling in love or well in love or on an anniversary or whatever, and it is so romantic. Just across the way is Bellagio, which is the more elegant place, but the sort of rough, intimate little town is Varena. There you go, Fred.
I appreciate it. That's a big help.
Good. I hope that was helpful for you. Thanks for your call.
Okay.
Sure was. Thanks.
Ciao, ciao.
Have an aperitivo on us.
Yeah.
What do you think about those places?
Ciao, grazie mille.
Ciao.
Campari. Yes. In its birthplace, right there in the Victor Emmanuel Gallery the main square in Milano. And Roberto's on the line in Jenkintown, Pennsylvania. Robert, thanks for your call.
Hi, Rick. Good to talk to you all.
Thank you. Do you have a comment or a question for our guides?
Well, kind of a question. I'm a real opera fan, and this is the 200th anniversary of the birth of Verdi.
Yes.
And I would like to kind of make a pilgrimage to Verdi country. I know that he was born in Roncalay, which is near Pesetto, and he lived in that area with Sant'Agata for many years. But I was wondering if your folks had any suggestions as to what kind of, like, special locations that have a Verdi association I might visit in Milan and any of the surrounding areas. And also, what place would be best to base myself out of, and do I need to get a car to go to the different places?
Okay, so first of all, Verdi, Giuseppe Verdi, the great Italian opera composer, and his name is sort of part of the Italian Risorgimento, I think, unification movement.
Mm-hmm.
And remember,
the heart and soul of it.
Oh, man, and it's important when you think of Verdi and the operas to think of Italian unification, and in the 1850s, there were some intellectual and artistic people who had this dream of uniting all the Italian-speaking states, but all the other countries around didn't really want a new country on the map. And through some very artful maneuvering and fancy politics and revolutionary tactics, Italy was brought together. But during that period, you couldn't even wave the Italian colors without getting in trouble by the colonial overlords of Italy. And people would actually go to the opera houses and sing the Verdi operas, the arias. They'd stand on their seats and sing these arias as if they were calling for Italian unity in secret. And I'm just so fascinated by the fact that the name Verdi even came to symbolize the Italian unity. You probably know where I'm leading here, Robert, but
Vittorio Emanuele Re d'Italia.
V-E-R-D-I. And for anybody who isn't tuned into Italian unification and the great opera composer, that is really something. And for somebody like Robert, who's got a passion for this, we need to have some ideas. Ricardo,
Well, I have the impression that Robert knows this stuff much better than we do, because considering that he's American, but he's a real opera addict, I can say. So Roncalay is the place where he was born. His house can be visited. It's open to the public. Of course, Milan and Parma. I would say, if I can suggest you a base, be based in Parma. Parma is a beautiful city. There is a fantastic theater, one of the most important theaters of Italy. So most probably they will have performances going on all year. As far as performances events are concerned, I'm afraid there will be so many that the only suggestion I can give you, go on the net and you search either La Scala in Milan or the Regio in Parma, the Teatro Regio, or Roncole. I'm sure that there will be great coverage of all the different events. I would say Parma also because of the food. Don't forget Parmesan. Why don't we call it Parmesan? Because it comes from there. You know, so
yeah, I'm sure that they'll have other events around Italy as well, because
sure,
he was a national figure for
Absolutely.
Italy. In places maybe like Monte Catini, he spent 18 years of his life going to Monte Catini to take the waters, the curative waters. And I'm sure, you know, Puccini was right next door at Torre del Lago. So they'll have things going on in Tuscany as well to celebrate Verdi.
Everywhere.
So when you're traveling in Italy in 2013, you'll find, be aware of a lot of Verdi activities.
That's right.
Obviously,
sounds like a great time to be there.
Yes.
That's right.
Make sure that if you want to go to some events, book early, because otherwise it might be difficult to get in. Eh? Because they're organizing groups from all over the world of opera addicts. Yeah. You know?
So, Roberto in Jenkintown, Pennsylvania, tell us what the letters of Verdi's name stand for again. I'd love to hear you say that.
Vittorio Emanuele, Re d'Italia.
Fantastico.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
A great.
The local.
A great.
And what the meaning of that would be that when Italy was uniting, there was one king with Italian blood. He was the king of the little country of Piedmont, Victor Emmanuel. And they would say, when we get our act together and Italy is united, we already have our king, Victor Emmanuel, the king of Italy. All right, we'll celebrate that this year, Robert. Thanks for your call.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Arrivederci.
What a wonderful mix of culture and beautiful natural wonders and
music.
That's
why Italy sells. That's why Italy sells.
That's
true. Because we've got everything.
There is everything, and it's laid out in a beautiful way for the tourists.
And it's manageable. You can get around Italy. It's not like you have to go 4,000 miles this way to see something.
Pete is full of Italians.
God made Italy, and then it was so beautiful, he had to toss in some Italians,
just
to be fair to everybody else.
That's right. Well, a little color.
Well, we can go there and find out if that's actually a problem or not. Anne and Ricardo, thank you so much for sharing your expertise on Italy, especially Northern Italy here. Let's finish off just with one last little bit of advice, you know, for the tourists to really distinguish their trip to Northern Italy. Anne, when you think about an American heading over to Northern Italy, what piece of advice would you give them as a parting word of wisdom?
Yeah, I've always said that, you know, you have to see the big cities, Milan and Venice. That's what we're known for. But don't miss the little places in between. Head around, and when you see something pretty, stop and have a look, because 2 hours are never wasted if you find some place that nobody else is at.
That is so true. I never forget just tooling around Italy in my car, coming into a little no-name village. There's a cheese festival going on.
That's right.
Well, stop the car, get out, and eat some cheese.
That's right.
Ricardo.
Oh, yes. Then another little town that could be found in that way. It's a kind of discovery. Probably some of you had a nice Italian white wine called Soave.
Soave,
it's named that way because there is a lovely little village which is not far away from Verona, which, I mean, deserves a visit. But Soave is a tiny little village with a castle overlooking. You can visit some of the wineries. You're at the foot of the Alps. And it's just fantastic. It's one of those little things you're not expecting, but they will hit you, really.
Okay, so you know the wine. Now you can go to the village. Soave. Mille grazie, Riccardo and Anna.
Prego.
Grazie.
Ciao.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced by Tim Tatton with Sarah McCormick and Isaac Kaplan-Wilner at Europe Through the Back Door in Edmonds, Washington. Thanks to Gretchen Straub for reading today's travel haiku and to KQED San Francisco for technical help. You can chat with Rick and his guests in our next recording sessions for Travel with Rick Steves. Go to the radio section of our website, include your email address in the link on the right-hand side of the page, and then we'll notify you of our next set of recording dates and topics. That's where you can join us as a caller on the show. And you can hear Rick's update on how two towns in Italy's Cinque Terre region are recovering from flash floods from 2011. Look for the program extras with this week's show, and that's all in the radio section of ricksteves.com. And join us again next week for more Travel with Rick Steves.
Travel with Rick Steves is made possible in part by the European Union delegation to the USA. Tips about traveling in Europe and information about the EU are available at euintheus.org.